weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
An exhibition inspired by the geography, the history and the people of the Kite, the oldest residential quarter in Cambridge, is running at Clare Hall. To find out more about Breathing the Kite, I've been speaking to Peter Wadhams, a member of Clare Hall Art Committee, also a Kite resident. Russell Whitehead is the MD of LT123 and sponsor of the show. And Chris Williams has curated the work on display. But first, here's Mary Burgess of the Cambridgeshire Collection, which has provided some of the archive material.
It's always been a very working class populated area of Cambridge. I mean, you can see that back on the 1830 Baker map. I mean, even then it was still greatly used as a working class area. Lots of orchard, lots of small places where working class people would be living, working, shops, pubs and other small businesses.
And was there any industry in the area as such? What sort of things would people have done?
I mean, there were quite a wide range of industry. I mean, there was Baldry's Mineral Waterworks, there was a brush factory, there was Nunn's panel beating place. I mean, there's been quite a wide range of industry all in the Kite or just off the Kite for a very long time.
And the boundaries, which are near enough represents the Kite, at least if you turn the map the right way up, they've predominantly stayed the same over the years.
I mean, the Kite area has always had the reasonably strong boundaries. I mean, East Road, Newmarket Road, the roads themselves are very ancient, have been there for a very long time.
And Peter, we're looking at some photographs here, some images, some newspaper clippings. Some are very familiar indeed, yet at the same time, there's been so much change.
Oh, it's been a huge amount. I mean, I moved into the Kite in 1977. At that time, there was still the battle to save as much of it as possible. Originally, the whole lot was going to come down. And then, in the end, about half of it came down and built the Grafton Centre. But the rest, enough remained to retain the sense of community and the feel for what the Kite used to be, although a lot was lost.
It's strange, looking at Burley Street there, you know, it's completely changed these days, yet the width of the street, you still kind of feel it's Burley Street.
Yes, there's still the same buildings in Burley Street, although Fitzroy Street, which used to carry on into some really nice old buildings and shops, that all went, and a big area was lost. Burley Street is still there as it was, although it's pedestrianised now. Buildings get reused. For instance, the most impressive building in Burley Street was always the Co-op, and that's now Primark, and it's gone through several rebirths since then. It's still being used for the purpose that it was intended.
And the protests you mentioned when you move in, these were very much underway. We've got a leaflet here, final Kite threat, Fitzroy Street to be knocked down, the Kite saga, the first 30 years. People had very strong feelings. I guess it's kind of akin to what we've seen expressed over the City Deal in recent months.
Yes, at the time there was a fanatical councillor called Councillor Powley, and every time you read about it in the paper, he was spearheading the plan for the Kite. We've never heard about anybody spearheading anything since then, but he was spearheading it. The local residents mounted a big campaign, which they hadn't done at the time of, for instance, of Lion Yard, which was perpetrated very rapidly before anybody could see what was happening. But the Kite, there was time to organise a rebellion against it. And in the end, the plan that was enacted was less harmful than the original plan.
And has it always been an area which has attracted artists to work? Many of the artists whose work we can see in this exhibition live in or pretty close to the Kite. Has it always been so?
Yes, it has. There was a very good artist who lived around the corner from us and had a one-man exhibition here, Sidney King. And there's been many other artists lived in the Kite, also artisans. It's been very much an area for self-employed people creating things. And that was the case when it was built, and it's still the case today.
So, Chris, I've gathered there's four artists altogether. What sort of work are they displaying here?
Well, Ian Rawlinson was the one that started this whole exhibition, and his work is very much about the shape of the Kite and memories of that. Then we have Nicholas Jewett, who is an oil painter who's painted his memories and impressions of the district. Then we have Will Hill, who is a lecturer in graphic design at Anglia Ruskin. His work is digital collage. Then we have Karen Francis Eng, who is a photographer who's captured people who live and work in the kite.
And we're looking here at a piece from Nicholas Jewett. It uses in these oils, these wonderful long brush strokes, but it's still just so recognisably this part of Cambridge we know as the kite.
Yes, Nicholas has an ability to capture in very simple strokes the essence of a place. It's never photographic. His perspectives and angles are very interesting, to say the least. His colour palette is very distinctive, but you immediately know where you're looking at.
And Russell, there are some very familiar places in the Kite District contained in this piece, but all of the pieces that Nicholas has done. Can you maybe point a few out to us from here?
Well, yes, there are several layers here, physically piled on top of each other. I think appropriately, the bottom layer is the co-op funeral services at the bottom. And at the top there, that part of the painting, Nicholas, who I've been good friends with since we were both 18, he came to my office, which is in the repurposed Maltings there, so an act of regeneration in itself. And that's the view from one of the balconies of our offices. And you can see the end of Prospect Row. And you can see what a lot of people would remember of John Cook's shop, which is now a hairdresser's, and the beginning there of Eden Street. Another memory for me is just out of sight is the house my mother used to live in on Eden Street. But yes, it's the kite is all kind of stacked up on top of each other here with Nicholas's very recognisable palette of colours. So it's certainly not a drab picture.
To me, that's one of the most striking elements of his work, because the streets could look a bit dowdy and grey, perhaps. Mm. But he has brought out the colour and the vibrancy, yes, which anybody who knows that area will be familiar with.
Yes, no, I think that's absolutely right. He, as you say, it's very recognisable, but a lot of it is a psychological recognisability, that is, he's showing the life of the kite, not only the buildings of the kite.
Well, let's wander on a little further down here. Gather you know this building.
Well, this is what used to be the Forester's Pub on the corner of Burley Street and Fitzroy Street, and it's since been turned into the Co-op Bank. And just opposite, you can see, covered in scaffolding, what used to be the Methodist Chapel at the back of the Grafton Centre, which is now a Footlights restaurant.
So a Methodist chapel opposite a pub, that always works well.
You do find that quite a lot in the kite area. I mean, there's both quite a lot of temperance movements along with the vast majority of pubs in Cambridge. So it's quite interesting. I mean, particularly in the collection, we've got quite a few maps of pubs that were produced by the temperance movement to say how dreadful this was, that are now currently mostly used by camera. So we all find that quite amusing.
And your mother was a regular in the chapel or in the pub?
Well, my dad comes from the Methodist tradition, and my mum spent a fair bit of time in the pub, so I see both ends of that area of Cambridge.
So this one's quite interesting, of Will Hill's, because Sun Street is gone, but he's sort of retaining the memory of it. Short Street's kind of unrecognisable now from what it was. And there's Wellington Street, which is where my company, LT123, our accountant, Andrew Webster, are on Wellington Street, and of course are straight as a die and very honourable in their very new building. But if you look at the map of arrests of prostitutes in the area, Wellington Street used to have the highest concentration of prostitution being practised in the kite. So that's quite an entertaining bit of history. But yes, again, it's a sort of extension of Nicholas's idea of having these layers here, but each layer is retained, is kept in the archive, like with the Cambridgeshire collection, that all these old maps and photos, whatever they were intended for at the time, have been preserved and have a use to inform us now.
And Chris, this work, of course, has all been printed out, hasn't it, from a very large digital file.
Yes, is a very capable traditional printer, but he decided to do digital collage for this. So it was all on computer right up until the moment it was printed. And these sheets were printed a matter of days before the exhibition. The interesting thing about it is that all of the artists have very different takes on what the kite means to them, but they all seem to fit together so well, and they all have the geography of the place and the buildings at the heart, and the occupations and people are implied.
And how long can we see this exhibition at Clare for?
We are here till March the 1st, and it's open every day, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m, and it's Clare Hall, not Clare College, which is on Grange Road.
And what happens then, of course?
We are hoping that somebody would have enough interest to take this exhibition to another location, because it is a really good display of different styles of work, and a lot of people have enjoyed the memories coming back to life.
Oh, enjoyed that. Breathing the Kite is on at Clare Hall, as you heard there, through until March the 1st, and it's free to get in as well.